If I say the number 11 million, you may connect it with the estimated 11 million immigrants living in the United States without proper documentation.
But what about 5 million? That's the estimated number of U.S. citizens with at least one parent who's undocumented. So we're talking the sons and daughters of some of those 11 million people.
Latino USA producer Fernanda Chavarri here in the studio with me. So Fernanda, so far this year, we've seen a few stories in the news about mothers getting deported and getting separated from their U.S.-born kids.
ICE has deported an Aurora mother of four who lived in the U.S. for more than 15 years.
Her husband and American-born children on the outside. These are live.
It's been happening for a long time, but the fear of deportation has definitely increased since Election Day.
This might be because between the 11 million people who are undocumented and their U.S. citizen children, that's a lot of people who could be affected by immigration policies.
We want to start today's episode with the story of American children stuck in the middle of immigration policy.
And in particular, you found this family, the De La Rosa family in Tucson, Arizona. And you did this story for Arizona Public Media way before you joined us here at Futuro Media Group in New York. And we want to air this once again. So here it is.
It's the first day of fifth grade for Bobby, and he's in the kitchen of the De La Rosa's home. Most 10-year-olds probably have their parents serving them breakfast on the first day of school, but instead, Bobby is pouring cereal for his father and peeling a banana for him. Bobby's dad, Arsenio, is 82 years old. He was 72 when Bobby was born. And since then, he's had a stroke and uses a walker to get around. Bobby helps his father sit down at the kitchen table and kisses his forehead before leaving the house. His only sister, Naomi, got up a couple hours earlier to do her hair and go to school. Their mother, Gloria Arellano de la Rosa, is also getting ready this morning, but she's doing it 60 miles south, across the international border, in her small apartment in Nogales, Mexico. In 2009, Gloria went to Juarez, Mexico, to what she thought would be an appointment with immigration officials who would grant her a green card. She was undocumented, and her husband of 20 years, who is a U.S. citizen, was sponsoring her. The family thought there was a pretty good chance Gloria could come back legally. Instead, she faced a 10-year ban from returning to the U.S. because first she overstayed her visa, and then, after a visit to Mexico, she crossed back illegally. Bill was 15 when he got the phone call from his mom.
She called me from a payphone, and it was raining. I heard it raining. I knew she was outside, so I didn't want to keep her. She told me, she's like, mijo, like, no me la dieron, or she said something like that. I was like, what do you mean, no? In disbelief and in denial.
Bill hung up the phone and stood still, staring at a family portrait, trying to process the news that his mom was not coming back to this country.
I remember I cried. And I was really upset because I still didn't know what was going to happen.
That family portrait has not been updated. Bill couldn't understand why his mom, the mother of four U.S.-born children, married to a U.S. citizen, a volunteer at church and school with no criminal record, would be denied a green card. Well, here's why. In 1996, Congress passed a law to punish those who came to the U.S. illegally by banning them from re-entering legally for 3 or 10 years. That meant Gloria would have to wait until 2019 to try to return to the U.S. Bill is the second oldest. He's a tall and thin 21-year-old.
How do I describe myself? As an average, responsible young man.
Let's say a bit above average. He was a valedictorian at his high school, and he's also a Bill Gates scholar with a full ride scholarship at Bowdoin College in Maine.
My role in the family has been mostly to step in as one of the older brothers and take on larger responsibilities.
Growing up, Bill was always finding ways to help the family financially. He went door to door in the neighborhood selling food his mom made, $1 for a dozen tortillas and $8 for a dozen tamales. Even now at school in Maine, he cuts hair and DJs parties on the side for a little extra cash. Bill has never been afraid to ask for help when he needed it. So when his mom was suddenly gone, he reached out to lawyers, school counselors, church groups, anyone who could help him figure out what to do. It's that support system that in one way or another over time helped him become a 2015 Harry Truman Scholar. And if you haven't heard of that, basically, it's a really big deal.
Wow. ¿Qué es esto?
Es el certificado que me dieron.
Every summer, Bill tries to spend as much time with his mom as he can, driving back and forth from Tucson to Nogales, Sonora. On this Saturday afternoon, he's bringing her a framed letter from the White House.
It's a message from President Barack Obama, who he sent to all the 2015 class of Truman Scholars, basically outlined, you know, that our service as leaders.
Siento mucho orgullo, mucha alegría, pero a la vez también me da.
Gloria says she feels so much pride and happiness because she knows that there's a lot of hard work that went into this. Bill had to spend long nights studying while taking care of his sick father and also listening to his mom crying on the phone because she missed them.
My mom was really depressed when it happened, and for like years she was. And so she always contemplated coming back in somehow. But I always try to tell her, like, look, no, don't do it. Stay.
And she did stay. It wasn't an easy choice, but the De La Rosas decided to live apart for the sake of the kids' education. Gloria got a small apartment in the Mexican border town, and Arsenio and the kids stayed in their Arizona home. And with that decision, Bill's world turned upside down. But he didn't show it in front of his siblings.
I knew that they needed someone strong to wear a different mask in front of them. For sure, it affected me, but it also helped me a lot. I became more responsible. I became more devoted to school and just a positive role model in front of them.
And he wants to do more than just be an influence at home. He's working towards influencing immigration policy one day, either as an immigration lawyer or in politics. He's also strict with his younger siblings. Before he goes back to Maine for school, he talks to Naomi about her studies and about her responsibilities at home.
Make sure my dad's okay, make sure he's eating properly, and most importantly, make sure to stay on top of Bobby. Don't let him, fall apart.
So with Bill away for college and Jim, the oldest, in the military for 4 years, most of the responsibilities fell on the only girl, Naomi. Naomi is 15.
Yeah.
She's petite and has long black hair all the way down to her waist.
My favorite color is turquoise, maroon, black, and purple. My favorite subject is English. I love English. It's like, oof. I'm the outgoing, crazy girl that doesn't care what people say about her. Like on Snapchat, I'll make ugly faces. I don't care.
She also likes to take lots and lots of selfies with her cell phone.
Try to smile your best, but not that hard, because then you look constipated. So it's like, cheese.
But unlike most teenage girls, she had to grow up very quickly, not long after her 9th birthday. That's how old Naomi was when her mom was denied a green card. Today, Naomi is responsible for cooking dinner, sweeping and mopping the house, doing the laundry, and cleaning up after her elderly father. She doesn't complain about doing these things. But she feels like she has two lives.
One would be like the student one, and the other one would be like a mom one. And so like, if I go down, everybody goes down. I don't know, I feel like I have the most responsibility.
Naomi's mom wipes tears from her eyes when she talks about the burdens on her only daughter's shoulders.
Me da mucha lástima con ella porque...
Sitting at the kitchen table in her apartment in Nogales, Mexico, Gloria says she feels bad for Naomi. The family visits Gloria a couple times a month. Naomi doesn't really like to go, but sees it as a bit of a break from doing house chores. Naomi and her younger brother Bobby are walking around Nogales with their mom, picking up tortillas. Naomi walks very close to Bobby, occasionally bumping into him. She says she does not feel comfortable walking around the streets of this border town.
They disrespect you. Let's say there's a 40-year-old guy passing by, a little girl. They're like, wow, estás bien sabrosa. Wow, you're so hot. It's like, I don't feel safe at all. I don't know. I just don't like it here.
Naomi sees her mother as a warrior for sacrificing so much for the family, but the relationship is more distant than it used to be. It's been 6 years since they lived in the same house, in the same country.
Like, all she knows about me is that I'm a good student and, like, I do my best. But she doesn't know that I'm, like, at school, I'm, like, I don't care what people think of me, so I do, like, weird stuff. I start dancing in the middle of the hall, and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, what? I'm having fun. But, yeah.
Gloria tries to keep in touch by calling the house almost every day. She also calls her best friend, Leti Rodriguez. Since the family was separated, Leti has become like a second mom to Naomi.
Pero ya nada más imaginarme.
Leti says she does this because what if it was her kids? What if it was her daughter at home with a toothache and without a mom to take care of her? What if her kids didn't have anyone there to tuck them in at night? She says just the thought of them going to bed on an empty stomach, it hurts. On her 15th birthday, Naomi got a bracelet and a card from her mom, which was sweet. But it was Leti who took Naomi to the mall.
She's like a guardian angel. She's always been there for us.
Just as Leti has been there for Naomi, Naomi has been a huge support for the youngest in the family. That's one of the many ways Naomi has had to grow up really fast. Again, Naomi was 9 when her mom left, but Bobby was only 4. Naomi remembers waking up one night to go to the bathroom and seeing a silhouette in the middle of the hallway. It was Bobby, with his eyes full of tears. So she woke up her older brothers. Bill picked up Bobby and took him back to bed, while Naomi warmed up strawberry milk to make him feel better. Jim tried to make a puppet show with blankets and a big teddy bear, all trying to distract Bobby and make him laugh.
As a 9-year-old, like, that would look at Bobby and like be like, oh, the little baby, and like, I would hold him, and, like, I would be crying. But then I would be like, no, 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 I'm strong. So I would wipe those tears and then go to sleep.
One fact is that I'm really handsome. Another one is that I'm shy. I'm not that smart. I love cats and dogs. And other animals. I hate whales. They scare me. And I'm scared of the ocean.
Not a lot of 10-year-olds would say that their teenage siblings are their best friends, especially their teenage sisters. But Bobby has grown up very close to his older sister.
My best friend is Naomi. And my other best friend is this kid named Nick that I met since I was 3.
Bobby and Naomi share a bed most nights. When they go to Mexico to spend time with their mom on the weekends, Gloria often finds them cuddling and holding hands while they sleep.
I think it's because my mom wasn't there, and Naomi was like the only person I was close to when I was scared. She makes me laugh when I'm sad or... She hugs me when I'm scared or teaches me not to be scared of nothing. And she's funny.
A few years ago, Naomi took Bobby to a parent-teacher conference because their dad was hospitalized and their 2 older brothers were away for college and the military. That visit almost got them in a lot of trouble. The school contacted Arizona's Child Welfare Office after seeing a middle schooler in charge of Bobby. It was then that the family decided to arrange for Leti Rodriguez, the family friend who was helping take care of the kids, to have power of attorney. Leti often brought food to the house. She took Naomi to the grocery store and checked on Arsenio's health. She also kept a close eye on Bobby.
Pero sí había momentos en que el niño lo miraba muy triste.
There were times she noticed Bobby looking sad and quiet. He stayed in his room a lot and didn't want to do his homework. Leti says one time she got a call from Bobby's school because he was falling behind. So she talked to him and got him caught up. Now Bobby has his oldest brother with him at home. Jim, who's 23, is back after 4 years in the U.S. military. He will likely be the one attending the next parent-teacher conference. Bobby goes to the same elementary school that his siblings did. Liz Hoover is a counselor there, and she knows the family well. She says, like with any other family separation, things like death or divorce, the De La Rosas kept the mom's absence quiet at first.
And those things come out because maybe a teacher is reading a piece of literature that prompts something and then prompts an emotion, or that kids are talking with one another related to something, or a parent-teacher conference comes up. So once we begin sort of digging a little bit deeper to help, we're finding out about those things.
One day, Bobby's teacher was reading a story about an orphan. Bobby started crying in class at the thought of not having his parents around. A thought that still upsets him.
Because I think about my dad and how his health is, or my mom, how she's far away from him.
With time, Bobby has come to understand a little bit about the immigration policies that have put his family in the situation. Arizona Democratic Congressman Raul Grijalva stopped at Bobby's school to talk to the students, and Bobby raised his hand to ask a question.
How do you help people that are separated from their family, like my mom?
A few weeks later, Bobby would share his family story in front of more than 100 people, including Grijalva, at an immigration forum in Tucson.
My brother, who is forced by confusing, unfair border laws to remain in Mexico.
An event where anti-immigration protesters got so loud, some had to be escorted out by security.
Oh, I was so scared.
Bobby sat in the front row of the auditorium with Naomi and Liz, the school counselor. He cried when the heckling got louder, but he didn't want to leave because he wanted to hear why the protesters were so upset. He says despite the nerves, it was worth it to give that speech.
It's not fair that kids could only be with one parent and that it's hard to live like that. That's what I really wanted them to understand.
Every summer, Bobby tries to spend as much time as he can with his mom in Nogales, Mexico. He basically moves there for a couple of months and likes to play video games with a neighbor. In 2011, Arsenio's health deteriorated, so Gloria decided that Bobby should move to Nogales to live with her. Bobby is the only one of the kids who actually went to live in Mexico. It wasn't an easy transition, and actually the older brothers thought it was a terrible idea. So, after Bobby finished first grade in Mexico, the family decided he needed to return, that Bobby should get his chance at a better education in the U.S.
I missed my dad a lot. So then I started missing them, I started realizing that I wanted to go back. But then if I came back, I would miss my mom and my friends. So it was confusing.
He was also confused about language. Bobby struggled to read and write in Spanish. And then when he came back to Arizona, after a year of not writing or reading in English, he had a tough time in some classes. Bobby is doing much better in school now. And when he's not doing homework after school, he likes to hang out with his oldest brother, Jim.
Whatever you say, broski.
It's cool when he fights, Kiba.
The two are 13 years apart, but still like to play the same video games and watch anime shows together. Remember how Bobby calls Naomi his best friend? Well, he calls Jim his best friend. For the past 4 years, Jim's life has been all about the U.S. Marine Corps, something he's thought about for a long time.
Since like eighth grade.
He liked the uniforms, the discipline, the overall lifestyle.
Patriotism, like I love America, just everything together. It's like perfect. A perfect career for me.
After his mom was denied a green card, Jim enrolled in the military, in part hoping that having a son who was a U.S. Marine would help his mom's immigration case.
And also, like, to help my family, because I heard it was a good source of income. It was just like a big brotherhood. It was good. It was like a second family.
But when it was time for Jim to re-enlist, he had to make a choice.
I knew I had to come home. Like, it was going to be a must. But at the same time, I was like, damn, this is not fair. Like, this sucks. I could have continued, like, 2 more months. I would have been a sergeant. That's an E5. That's a pretty big deal to make it up there that fast. Yeah, but I knew, like, this is more important. Family comes first. So, yeah, I was kind of, like, angry. Like, oh, this is not fair. Life isn't fair. But it's whatever.
Jim didn't say this to anyone in his family at the time. He doesn't really like to talk about his feelings. Gloria, his mom, thinks Jim took her absence the hardest. Jim, who already was a bit reserved, became even more reclusive, she says, sleeping a lot and eating less. But Jim doesn't remember it like that. In fact, he sort of brushes it off. It's almost as if some of these life changes were not that big of a deal to him. But he admits that the relationship with his mom is
kind of distant, but not a bad one.
Since he's come home earlier this year, his routine has changed. From waking up at 6 a.m. to work out with his Marine buddies, to waking up in the middle of the night to help his father off the bed and into the bathroom.
Pasa ejercicio, pues. Las piernas.
Jim has become the primary caretaker for his father. Because Arsenio's stroke left him with limited mobility, he needs to exercise his legs. So Jim tries to work with him, helping his dad flex each leg while he's watching TV. 16,
17, 18, 19, 20.
When Arsenio's health was better, he used to walk to the after-school program that all his kids attended. He would make a donation, even when the family was struggling financially. Here's the program's director, Sister Marianne McCalmery.
He is the only parent, the only one, and we've had hundreds go through our program, who would give me $20 every month without fail. And when he was so sick, he'd come with his walker. He wouldn't let his sons come. He had to come and make sure he put that in my hand every single month.
Those $20 were harder to come by after Gloria was banned from coming back because she was the breadwinner of the family, cleaning motel rooms and selling food on the side. And their father's Social Security check just couldn't cover all the expenses. And although the separation has caused a lot of problems, Jim commends his mother for waiting out the 10 years.
I'm proud of her for wanting it to do it the legit way and legal way to becoming a citizen or resident. Because, like, years ago, she could have gotten another, she could have crossed illegally again through the desert or whether there's a lot of ways she can cross.
Now that he's decided not to have a career in the military, Jim is considering working in law enforcement. Even though he doesn't like to share much, he does talk to his friend Bob Cabijas about his plans and asks for advice.
They just changed these barrels. They put the new...
One morning, Bob asked Jim to join him volunteering with Humane Borders, a nonprofit that works to prevent the deaths of people crossing the desert. The two drove a water truck through migrant trails along the Arizona border, filling up water tanks.
Come on.
How do I use this thing?
Just turn the water on and put the thing on there.
Okay.
That's the same desert his mother crossed more than a decade ago to come to the U.S. But it wasn't until Jim came home after driving through the desert that he put those two together.
Now that I think about it, it's like, dang, my mom was one of those persons, you know, like, it's crazy.
There were times when the De La Rosas didn't have enough to eat, and times when they struggled emotionally and fell behind in school. And according to a lot of research, that's how it typically goes. Children with an undocumented parent are at a disadvantage when it comes to things like school, their health care, even making a living. But the De La Rosas have found a way to make it work. They have a support system made up of family, friends, church groups, teachers, and counselors. And ultimately, they have each other. Bill has a resume longer than most college students, and Naomi is excelling in high school. Jim has taken basic classes to be a better caretaker for their dad and is enrolled in community college. 10-year-old Bobby wants to be a veterinarian when he grows up because he loves animals. Still, Gloria cries every time her kids leave Mexico after a weekend visit. She tries to make the most of those visits and take some weight off their shoulders by cooking their favorite dishes, doing their laundry, and caring for her husband, who's twice her age. This fall, it will be 7 years since that fateful green card appointment in Juarez that separated this family. And unless there are major changes to U.S. immigration policies, they still have 3 more years to go before Gloria can even try again. And even then, there are no guarantees.
Well, hopefully, by then, my mom is back here. My dad, I don't know if he'll make it that long.
And I picture us living together again at some point.
Yeah.
And then my mom, you know, going to go see my sister graduate from college. Going to Bobby's high school graduation. Well, I told her that I wouldn't get married until she gets back. She's missed a lot of things, but there's still some events she could go to. Yeah.
So, Maria, it's been a little while now, almost 2 years since I first met the De La Rosa family, and about a year and a half since the story first came out. And I wanted to call them to see how they were doing.
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
Good, and yourself?
I'm good.
So, Bobby, the youngest, he's now 12 years old, and he's in middle school.
It's all right, I guess.
He sounds like such a middle schooler.
Yep. He's at home in Tucson with Naomi, with Jim, and their dad. Naomi, like she was when we did the story, she's doing most of the cooking and the cleaning at home. She gets a little break when she goes to visit her mom in Nogales.
We actually went to go see her this weekend for Mother's Day. It was fun. We went out to eat and we got to gossip and it was fun.
She's a junior in high school. She's taking all AP classes.
Whoa.
She recently won an academic award.
It's for being like the top students in the region of Arizona.
So Jim, the oldest, he's going to community college part-time and he got a certificate so that he can be an official caretaker for his father. So he went through classes, first aid, that kind of stuff.
Okay,
so Bill, he's sort of the backbone of the family. He's the one that was away at college.
Right.
He is about to move to the UK.
I'm fortunate to receive full tuition for 2 years to study at Oxford University. And so I'm very, very excited for that.
Whoa.
So Bill's mom, Gloria, is super excited.
Ay, qué bueno.
And Bill has already started saving money so that he can buy a plane ticket and send his mom because
from
there's
Mexico.
No correct. There's no issues for her to go to the UK.
Oh my God.
So that she can finally see and be present at a graduation for one of her kids because she's missed high school graduations, elementary school promotions. She's missed all of that because all of that for her kids has happened in the U.S.
Wow.
And his dad, he's aware of what's going on, but he's been starting to show signs of dementia.
To be honest, sometimes I question whether he remembers me when I speak to him on the phone. But...
Okay, and what about the mom? How is she doing?
So she's still in Nogales. She's about 10 minutes from the border in Mexico. And Bill told me that she didn't really take the election results very well. She's worried that now Trump is going to make it harder for her to come to the U.S. legally in 2 years.
So she was given 10 years
mm-hmm.
before she could even think about reapplying.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be 8 years this October since Gloria was banned from entering the U.S. And she has two more to go. That's just how long she has to wait to apply.
And with this administration, we just don't know what to expect in the future. So that's just an added burden for this family. Thank you so much, Fernanda, for your amazing reporting on this.
Thank you.
Latino USA producer Fernanda Chavarri.